Hello, Internet. This is Chase Wassenaart. Welcome to K-Pop Shenanigans. We're back, baby. We're back. Thank you so much for waiting through the hiatus with us. It's been a very busy, very crazy month of August with a lot of traveling for a lot of the people involved. And you can tell because we have a guest joining us this time around. You may remember him from the K-pop girl group Fantasy Draft that you should definitely check out if you haven't already. Justin, how you doing, man?
I'm doing about as good as I could be.
That is some confidence coming through from you that I very much appreciate the excitement and that you're just so happy to be here. It is 2:30 where Justin is, so everyone give him a round of applause while listening at home for being such a trooper with this. But of course, he's not the only one here. I am joined by Kristen. Kristen, how are you?
I'm doing about as well as I could be too. Some major stuff happened in August.
You know, I'm going to choose that to mean that you guys are just doing so well that it's just optimal happiness, just as happy as could possibly be.
Because yes. What else? Also, one less organ coming to this pod.
Yes, it's nice to be back. Unfortunately, Shay was not able to join us. So Shay is very busy doing a lot of job things and whatnot. So I will do my best to relay the couple thoughts that he had on this month as they come up. Very busy month here in July that we are now catching up on in mid-August. I can't believe that we can't talk about a couple of the songs in August that I desperately want to talk about right now. But instead, we're going to jump into news and then half of the songs we all want to talk about from July. And then the second episode, yes, we are still doing that whole two-part thing. We've gotten good responses from those of you listening that it helps. So the second half will be the second half of the songs we all want to talk about and our 60-second segments. That's how the show works. K-pop shenanigans. Let's get right into it. SM has unveiled a supergroup. This is happening. This was technically the very beginning of August, but the rumors have been going since July, so it counts, damn it. This is a supergroup with a whole bunch of different people from SM Entertainment. Taemin from SHINee, who obviously has been doing a lot of solo stuff. Kai and Baekhyun from EXO. Taeyong, Mark, and Ten from NCT. And Lucas from WayV. This is a very interesting strategy. You don't really see supergroups in American pop, mostly because you don't see many groups in American pop. There isn't really anything I can compare to from this other than like a super team in esports, which you should be listening to the GGWP if you want to hear me talk about that shill. But this is an interesting group and I don't know how I feel about it. So I'm going to start with my man Justin here. How do you feel about it?
Well, I don't think the community is very sure on how they feel about it either, because I've seen I've seen people go two ways on it, and all of them very extremely on like one end of it. Like, there's the people that like this idea because they're like they're multi-fandom fans, and that like all of these people. So like, how exciting would it be to see a group of them together, right? But then on the other hand, there's the people that kind of just want SM to push the individual groups more. I'm not entirely sure on how I feel about it yet. As far as the people in the group, I like all of these people, so I can see that argument pretty strongly. But I guess it's an interesting thing that EXO can do while multiple members are gone for military service.
Well, and I think so much of this group is due to that, right? We don't have the ability to have these guys make music in perpetuity. There are always going to be these breaks. And yes, there are enough members of EXO with these subgroups that you would expect them to continue to make music. EXO-SC had a single in July. Baekhyun had a solo in July. So it does feel like
EXO-CBX as well.
Yeah, EXO-CBX had a recent single. So they're definitely doing something. And the hope is that this does not become the one something that they do, and that suddenly it becomes Kai and Baekhyun getting all this kind of attention and the rest of them falling off a little bit. Are you afraid of that, Kristen, knowing what we've seen so far from these groups and knowing what they're clearly trying to work around in that military service? Where do you come down on this?
Yeah, I have seen a lot of the backlash, and I am trying to be optimistic about it and see this as an opportunity for these guys to shine, I think. But I completely understand the worry. I mean, the worries that a lot of people have that it's going to lead to the other groups not being focused as much on, and they're going to have their hand in too many different pots. I don't know if I got the saying right, but I said it, and I think you know what I mean.
I'm willing to go with you on this journey.
Thank you. Yeah, come with me on this metaphor journey. So I get it. I get the concerns, but I think let's be optimistic and hopefully we get some good K-pop out of it.
Yeah, that's the hope, right? There are so many talented people here that it's hard to imagine that they won't be making some good music. And I think there's a lot to be said about the multinational element that's been brought in here. This was something that Xander actually really focused on when we did our K-pop girl group draft. And it seems like he thinks a lot more like an executive at one of these record labels than we do, because they did a lot with, you know, making sure that they have a Chinese member, making sure that they have a few other members as well. I really should have written that down, but there definitely is a diverse range there. My only concern, and there are two of them, one is that these are a lot of really strong personalities, all of whom could very easily carry solo songs that are now going to have to split lines among seven people. And that's kind of fascinating. Like, how do you split Baekhyun and Taeyong and Taemin in a way in which all three of those fan bases are happy? Good luck. I'm very curious to see how they pull it off. I also don't know what this means for NCT, and we're going to get to them later on in the show, but it does feel like maybe they're going to move Dream in another direction, and 127 will be an entirely different thing, because NCT 127 without Taeyong is not NCT 127. That's just, he is such a huge part of what makes those songs work. Simon Says is the one I will always go back to as a song in which he just carries it from charisma alone. And so I'm not sure how that feels. I'm not as pessimistic about the EXO stuff just because they've done so many stuff with subgroups. I think they are very cognizant of that, and I think they've done a lot. I'm happiest for Taemin because obviously with Shiny and, you know, the tragic story behind them and where they are right now, I think giving as many of those guys a fresh start or an opportunity to do something different is great, and Taemin certainly has earned that. But yeah, it's going to be fascinating. We do not have a date yet in which the supergroup would be debuting, so we're going to have to wait to see what Super M, as they're calling it, ends up doing. But this will be a developing story, and we will certainly, when they make their first comeback, that will be something on our Songs We All Want to Talk About list, regardless of what comes out of it. So we're going to move on. Gio and Kang Daniel are dating, and the internet was fine. This is an incredible thing for those of you who haven't followed K-pop. It's not that long ago that we saw Hyuna and Edan both dropped from their label at Cube Entertainment because they dared to date. And even like a month after that announcement had happened, they were finally laid off there. So you kind of watch with bated breath, how are they going to handle with JYP, the Gio Kang Daniel stuff? And the answer was they were fine. And everyone moved on within like 48 hours. So, Kristen, I want to kind of talk to you because you've now seen, you came in with us talking about dating craziness. And now it's kind of come full circle pretty quickly. How did you feel when you saw this news?
I felt so relieved, but also perplexed. Like, it was not that long ago. Everyone was freaking the hell out about the dating, and now we're fine? What changed? I want to know, because to me, like, did we all just get chill? Is that what happened? Because this is a short amount of time to get chill. All in all, I hope that this trend continues of being chill about K-pop stars dating.
Yes, I do think this is really important, and I'm glad that it's becoming more of a thing. I think that it's a great example of how if you handle people's expectations early, you can do a lot to change the narrative. I give a lot of credit to Kang Daniel for releasing a letter very quickly in which he stressed that he was sorry that people found out the way that he did, but did not apologize for the fact that he had started dating, and emphasized in that letter how much the fan support really meant to him during that time to make them feel like, oh, it wasn't really us. It was this woman who he had started to see, making sure that they still felt important. And I think that was really smart. I think that worked out quite nicely. And I also want to note that apparently JYP has like a 3-year dating ban, which had passed last October for Twice. So I guess the idea there is, look, Gio, you did your work. You did your service in terms of making sure that you sacrificed your personal life to be the leader of this group. Go ahead and date Kang Daniel, one of the most successful guys from 101, who has now already started winning awards, even in shows that he did not actually attend in person, which was incredible. Justin, anything you want to add on this story before we move on to the next one?
So what I'm hearing is you're telling me that these are real people.
Yeah, they're human beings.
And that was accepted.
Wild.
I don't know if I can comprehend this. I just found it. One of the really funny things that came by when I like read up on the news is all the people that were like, when people were waiting about confirmation from both sides, the people were like, "Yeah, hang on, Kang Daniel has to go ask himself to confirm the rumors real quick." As the owner of Kang Daniel Entertainment, or.
Yeah, Kang Daniel's people will get back to us, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God. I think it's happier news than I expected to come out of it. I was fully expecting another drama story to come out of this, but I'm glad it turned out the way it did. Yeah. Good on you, Internet.
Good on you, Internet. And good on JYP for handling things the right way. True. And I really hope that this now serves as the blueprint of how other companies handle this, right? Because it's very much in play.
God, I hope so.
That if they could see here, right? Like, these are two of the highest profile people in K-pop and it was fine. Well, that sends a signal that maybe we don't need to, I don't know, drop two of your best members of all of the music stuff that you do and panic a month after the whole drama had already unfolded. So
great. She's a little bitter.
I'm a little bitter, and we'll get into it more later as to why. We're going to move on. So now we get to the most important thing we will ever talk about on this podcast. This is something of huge gravitas, something that will shake the core and the hearts of everyone who hears it. Taeyeon has gotten her dog employed as an employee of SM Entertainment. He has his own name tag. He is officially a member. They've announced him on Instagram. He is so soft and so good, and there is so much love in such a small boy. And I am so, so happy that this is a thing. Justin, I know you have been itching to talk about this wonderful, wonderful dog. What do you want to add about this beautiful, beautiful boy?
It's the best boy, honestly. I don't think there's anything better we could have asked. This is, honestly, anything that we could have that could have possibly happened for us to talk about, this tops anything. And at this point, the dog might actually be more involved than certain idol group members, but I'm not gonna name any names here. I'm up to you. If you wanna take this stick,
press F to pay respects, man. That's all I have to say to that. But so my favorite on the article that I listed here is the very bottom, the doggy employee with good teeth. God, it's just so cute. Kristen, thoughts on Zero?
I think Zero is actually a hero.
Absolutely right.
I'm excited to see what he brings to the table. The news of his recent employment made my July, so there's that. He's also a beautifully groomed boy.
Very cute.
When's Taeyeon's next solo song?
I mean, there's always a next solo song with Taeyeon. I feel like Taeyeon has put out music somehow every month. I know it's not true, but it certainly feels that way. And as far as I'm concerned, now that he's a member of SM Entertainment, put this dog in every music video or we riot. That's how this goes. This is really important, SM Entertainment. We're on board.
He needs a cameo.
Exactly.
He needs the Stan Lee treatment.
More puppers in K-pop. This is a very important message. Public service announcement for all of us lovely listeners. Get more dogs in K-pop. We're gonna move on. I think there's nothing more we can add. I know it's all downhill from here, but we are gonna go into songs we all want to talk about because there were a lot. We've got 12 songs on our list, 5 of which we're gonna talk about right now, and we're gonna start with a song. I will say I'm very, you know, it would be great to have Shay here, but the one advantage is that we get to talk about Room Shaker by Ailee, because otherwise this would have been the hardest cut we've had since Uh-Oh by Idol. God, I love this song so much. And before I gush about it, I want to give the two of you a chance to gush about it. Kristen, what were your thoughts on Room Shaker when you first saw this?
Thank you so much for giving me the honor of talking about it first. I love this song. Oh my God. Ailee has the charisma and the star power. I love it. I have the song on repeat this week at work. It's great. It's very motivating. And I also, I have all these notes. I love the looks. She looks like a boss-ass bitch, and I love it. The suits, the moves in the suits are amazing. I will say I can see how some people might find the hook annoying, but to me, it just has that stick-in-your-head quality that just burrows in, but in the best way possible. And I love it. I love her. That's what I have to say.
Yeah, power moves and power suits, I think, is a great way to describe this music video. It's funny. Shay finally turned around on a little bit when he said that Ailee was going for an Ariana Grande vibe with this video, which, for the record, I am all here for K-pop Ariana Grande.
Than Ariana Grande.
It really does feel that way sometimes. The vocal power is incredible. I love the purple hair. You mentioned the power.
I love
the purple hair. I love in the chorus, the phrase room shaker is just so evocative. You know, this idea that, you know, I have such a presence that I walk into the room and it shakes with my just sheer charisma alone. Like, that's just so good and so smart to the extent that I'm amazed that no one has used this as a metaphor before. Justin, what are your thoughts on this song? Are you as in as Kristen and I are?
Definitely. I mean, with what you guys just said, it's kind of hard for me to add anything. As I look through, when I made my notes for the, on all each of these songs, there was only one word that I could write down for this song, and that was aura. Like, watching the music video over and over again, the one thing that just keeps coming back to me is just how her powerful aura, call it aura. Anything she does just has this looming presence, and I'm all here for it.
Yeah, this was the song that took over my July for most of it, and that's why I had to put it at the top, because it was the one that I can't stop thinking about in general. There is one part that I need to throw out at you guys, because I have thought about this an embarrassing length of time, and I still haven't come to an answer. So there is a part in the bridge in which Ailee says, "Go merry, go round, you know what to do. Go merry, go round, you know what I mean." And I do not know what to do, and I do not know what she means. So, Kristen, what are we meant to do, and what does it mean?
Okay, I don't know if I know what it means, but it's provocative. It's provocative. It gets the people going. That's what matters here. We don't need to know what it means. We don't need to know what to do except to listen to the dang song and dance along to it and watch it over and over again.
That's been my answer. Justin, do you have a different answer?
It can mean whatever you want it to mean, right? That's the idea.
Yeah.
It goes to that empowerment idea, right?
Exactly.
I will say, I know that there are some people, so I just want to account for the fact that there are some long-term Ailee fans who are like, this is not what I got into this artist for. She was much more of a slower ballad singer from what I know, and her powerful voice is very good for that. I will take this every step of the way, and I will not look back, and I hope that this is what she does, because I find this to be way more interesting to me personally, and it sounds like we as a cast all agree on that. And so I think that this is a really great song. Highly recommend. Check it out. We're going to move on. Here Comes the Boom by NCT Dream. It's actually just Boom, but Here Comes the Boom was a very seminal song in my childhood, so I had to make the reference regardless. Thank you to everyone who watches football games and would know what I'm talking about. Boom. Interesting song. I kind of hinted at the top that I feel like with the news of the supergroup and where NCT might be heading, that I think there's a lot we might be able to take away from this. I want to start with you, Justin. What did you take away from this song?
Man, I love this song. I don't know what it is about this song, but it just absorbed me immediately when I listened to it. And if with the new with Super M being a thing, if it means that NCT Dream might be pushed more to the forefront with like the absence of someone like Taeyong or even Mark. And if this is the result that comes out of it, then sure, I'm all for it. This song had a presence to it, but in a different way that I don't know how to describe. I don't know what you think about it, but I'm absorbed.
You're absorbed. I can kind of get that. There's a dark and moodiness to it that's very easy to get lost in. And I do think the beat work is very good. I have things I want to respond to there, but I want to give Kristen a chance to respond first. So, Kristen, okay. Do you agree with what Justin just said? Were you engrossed in this song?
I don't know if I was necessarily as engrossed as Justin, but I was intrigued. And to me, this song felt very different for NCT Dream, but I like it. It feels like they are definitely moving in a different direction than they have previously. It feels more grown up and less cutesy soft boy aesthetic. Mm-hmm. I really loved the rap break, but to me it felt like the chorus could be stronger. It didn't feel like it had enough impact to balance out the rest of the song. Almost like a slight letdown, but I enjoyed it. And I'm glad that they're moving outside of their comfort zones.
So I get to be a little bit of the contrarian on this, which is kind of fun. Because I very rarely get to fill that role. This, to me, was the music equivalent of when you're a kid and you decide that you want to try on your parents' clothes. And, like, the clothes are still good, but, like, it doesn't fit quite right. Like, you can tell, like, it's oversized. It's a little bit, you know, it's not meant for your body type, right? So it just kind of feels and looks wrong, even though the pieces are right. And that's kind of where I came down on this. Like, this isn't what I go to NCT Dream for. I like their soft boy stuff. They're really good at it. They've had some really great songs and a lot of success with it over the years. And those guys, when they go for the harder edge, I just don't really believe them. Like, just from a visual perspective, watching this video, I don't buy into this idea that this is who they are. I think that NCT 127 could have pulled this off. I think if you give Taeyong some of these bits and whatever, then it feels very different. He can kind of add a charisma that I felt was lacking in a lot of this, because, again, I just don't think this is what the Dream guys have ever done before. And you could say that that's growing pains, Chase. If that's, you know, you're being impatient, give them time to figure it out. And that's fair. I think that's more than fair. But it's also not my job to give them the time to figure it out. My job is to evaluate the song that we have in front of us. And my concern is that there are a whole bunch of people already on NCT 127 who are not named Taeyong that are not going to be joining him, like Mark and Ten are, and like Lucas from Wavy are. And they're really good at this. Why didn't they get a chance to be on this song, right? Like, why wasn't this given to the people who have specialized in this and spent, you know, a couple years now really refining how to bring out the best in this kind of concept? And so I hope that this isn't them saying, well, we don't even need NCT 127 because we have NCT Dream and they're super popular. I hope that this is an experiment to see which of them may be coming to NCT 127, but what does that mean for Dream? I don't know. And I think of all the groups that are going to be affected by the supergroup, I feel the least confident in what it will mean for the NCT brand, because there's a lot of ways it can go, and I'm not sure that all of them are particularly good. Justin, you had the strongest disagreement with me. Do you think that's fair? Where am I going wrong in your mind?
I think everything you said is fair. I just think that the song, the way it turned out, a lot of what you said I can forgive just because of how well the song just, I don't know, it just clicked for me. Mm. Right? So I can definitely see, like, of course, like, if NCT 127 did this song, I potentially could have been even more engrossed in this song, but even for with what it is, I am very happy with what it is. Even if it's possibly could have been more.
I think that's very fair. And I will say, for everything I just criticized it for, I have listened to this song a significant number of times, more than I would have expected. There is something about it that pulls me back, even as I have my flaws with it. So I definitely think it's worth checking out. Anything you want to add, Kristen, before we move on to our next song?
I get your point about how this isn't really an NCT dream song. This could be an NCT 127, and they could do that. But I feel like it's still within kind of their aesthetic to do this sort of thing, because it is moodier, but it's, to me, it's still them. I don't feel like they're losing themselves in this, if that makes sense.
That's fair. And I think it'll be interesting to see how the listeners at home, where you weigh in on it. We'd love to hear from you. Definitely let us know what you think when you check the song out. We're going to move on. Popsicle by UHSN. Now, you might be thinking to yourself when you click on the link, what? White girls in my K-pop? What is this madness? Well, this madness is a TV show that was produced on Mnet, translated to Study Abroad Girl. The idea is that we got 10 girls from 10 different countries, specifically Russia, Sweden, Thailand, Egypt, Norway, the US, Ukraine, Poland, Estonia, and Japan, who all got a chance to experience what it was like to be a K-pop idol. And then once the reality show was done, they had a chance to debut before they all returned to their native countries. This song is that debut. Now, when I first told you guys about the song, I was under the impression it's like, oh, well, it's kind of the start of the show. They're still figuring things out. Turns out that was the end of the show. And
oh,
yeah. Yeah. That's kind of where I stand on where this might be going. But I'm going to let you start first, Kristen. What did you think of Popsicle?
Why do you make me do this? Fine. It's cute, but ultimately I had your same reaction of you thought that this was at the beginning of their journey when it was actually at the end. I hate to say this because I feel like they're getting a lot of backlash and they don't deserve it. They deserve to have fun. I'm so glad that they got this opportunity because it seems like they care very much, but I do not take them seriously as a group. And I'm going to stop talking because that's all I'm going to say about it. It's cute. I don't take it seriously. It's a fun thing. I'm glad that they had that experience. And I hope people stop shitting on them.
For sure. The show is such an interesting concept that I hadn't really thought of a lot before. But, and I mean, as much as props to them for doing it. I mean,
yeah.
It's kind of find it hard to imagine what kind of spot they were in. But even with that, as much as I respect them for doing it, I still find the song underwhelming in a way. It just feels way too generic and cliche, right? Or it feels like so many other songs, but less refined, which makes it really hard for me to like it, as much as I like the idea behind it.
Yeah, again, feel like I might be the negative Nancy here. This is what happens when Shay is gone, is that someone has to step up and be the negative person. And apparently that's going to be me. I mean, it really, like, the title Study Abroad Girl says everything about this to me, because this is indeed someone studying abroad and thinking like, oh yeah, we'll have a couple months and we'll totally get what it is to be a K-pop star. That's not how this works. And it's not the girl's fault. And I do want to make that clear. Like, they got an opportunity to be on this show, and I think that's cool. I think that, you know, for a lot of these countries, they already have thriving pop scenes of their own. And I do feel a little bit weird about that. Like, I've never been on the, you know, everyone in K-pop should be, you know like a Korean person. Like, I don't like that argument at all. But, like, there is a difference to me of, like, Thailand, where there isn't a huge Thai pop scene in which the opportunities are just so much bigger in Korea, whereas the U.S., like, so much of Eastern EDM, Europe kind of pop and how big those have been, like, there's a lot of other things that they could do. Honestly, I blame the show, because the show kind of, if this is the conclusion, then what I took from the show is that they think K-pop is just, you know, super cutesy music that happens to be in Korean. And I don't think that that's true. It's certainly not the K-pop that I've enjoyed. And so what we get is essentially Discount Cherry Bullet, which that's not great, because there's a certain portion of this listening audience who are big enough K-pop fans to want to listen to a K-pop podcast and who just responded with, "Who's Cherry Bullet?" Which, to be fair, I understand. There are a lot of really great girl groups out there right now that debuted as rookies this year, and they're not the most interesting ones there. And that's a problem when you're a budget version of that.
Yeah.
I the way I put it in my notes, if this is the final product, then the show failed. But the show failed because it's an idea that I don't think was particularly well refined, and one that I think misses the mark of what makes K-pop so interesting to me.
I think that's how you can sum it up, although it missed the mark on a lot of ways.
Yeah, I would say this isn't even like interestingly bad. It's just mediocre, and so it's hard for me to. It's interesting for what it is, and it's interesting for what it represents. But I also don't think this is one of those where like, oh, go listen to it for yourself to see what you think. No. Like, you're probably gonna think, oh, it's a K-pop song, and that's cool, I guess, that it's non-Korean people doing a K-pop song, maybe? I don't know. Kristen, is there anything you want to add before we move on?
No, I just think you're right. It just makes me sad.
Yeah. You know, we're going to move on to something that makes me very happy.
Speaking of interesting bad.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know if I'm going to say bad. I'm going to say fascinating. And that is Shower by Narazo. And guys, this is a comedian. What's that?
Hello.
Hello.
I have swooped in on a flying carpet while the world behind me burns to joyfully remind the world that I shower.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. That's
this song is gloriously stupid. I don't know if I would say it is good, but there is a certain type of thing that if you just go crazy enough, you just go weird enough, you just go, it's like, I'm going to love it for the sheer audacity of what you're doing here. The sheer joy of, we're going to do this stupid, weird comedy song thing. These guys have been doing this. Well, one of the guys has been doing this since 2005. They've since kind of like, they've changed. One of the people has changed since then, but I don't know. I'm trying to, like, when watching this song, I just remember thinking, oh, dear Lord, this is so dumb. I have to love it for this. There's a scene where they're riding on a flying carpet, redoing the scene from Aladdin, redoing a whole new world. Well, meteors fall, nuclear bombs fall. Oh, yeah, and there's an alien invasion going on at the same time. There's a scene where a guy almost gets hit in the crotch by the moon. And
don't forget the random Aladdin homage with the electric guitar solo. That was very important.
Yeah, oh, and then there's one where they're making a reference to a video made by one of the TWICE members before they even debuted. There's a scene where they're in a church and they're doing this weird eagle dance thing, which I'll put the video in the show notes in there. It was a thing Dayun did before she debuted as TWICE, and I'm like, that's a really specific reference, but I appreciate you for it.
I didn't know that that was a reference. That's great.
That's a reference. The scene in the church where there's two guys doing like this weird arm flapping dance. It's a direct reference to something she did there. Oh, by the way, hi, I'm also on the podcast.
Yeah, hey, can I call you Zach, or am I supposed to pretend you're a mysterious producer figure that entered from the shadows and will disappear at any time?
Sure, whatever you want.
I feel like maybe we could have discussed this more. I do appreciate coming from the bunker, the hellscape behind you, as you described it, to enjoy the song about showering, because, you know, first, public service announcement. As someone who covers professional video gaming, it is very important to shower, and I think more people within our industry
can stand
to learn that lesson. But
don't forget the scene where the guy takes his shirt off and he's wearing like a fake muscle shirt, but his nipples are like the knobs for the shower.
Yeah,
and the guy turns the knobs and water just spews out of his mouth.
Zach, that haunts my dreams.
Yeah, the baptism by shower. I have a list of the Mountain Olympus. I feel like I'm taking the opportunity away from Justin and Kristen to bring up.
Kristen, save me.
No, Kristen, I'm gonna let
no,
go
you
first.
Gotta save me here.
I know where Justin's going, so I have to see where you're going, Kristen.
I feel like every month there has to be some sort of weird as fuck video on our list. And this is that one this month, apparently. I feel insulted by the visuals of this video and also the song itself.
Insulted.
The man with the knobs as his nipples and then water comes out of his mouth when you turn him. That haunts my dreams. I don't want
I'm so
this.
Happy.
I want it erased from my brain.
Yeah, you see, in the video, there was a depiction of the man taking his eyeballs out and washing them. That's how I feel about this video.
And then it was the last ball in the bingo game that they randomly started playing in that segment.
Like
the 40 ball came out of the eye. And that wasn't to say that you were wrong to feel that way.
Sorry
that was
for
to
undermining
add
your plot, Chase.
Very important detail for the look, are you saying that a video that starts with a galaxy inside a toilet bowl that then becomes a man swimming in a shower inside someone's open head before he emerges from the toilet and then sings to the guy on a piece of soap? That didn't bring you in? That wasn't the imagery that, you know, when you started the video that made you say, I'm going to fall in love with this?
This song makes me want to go listen to Cat and Dog.
How dare you? How dare... Yeah. I bring you on as a guest, and this is how you treat me? You monster. I mean, so what? Okay, why does Cat and Dog work for you where this doesn't? Because I'm kind of fascinated.
It doesn't, though. I just hate this that much more.
Yeah, it's mind numbing.
Oh, damn.
It's a lot of overwhelming. It never stops. There's never a moment in this video in which you can say, oh, I know where this is going. I know that this is a thing, but I do need to state two very important details. Number one, this song was not just popular enough to make our threshold, which is 100,000 views. This was a 2 million views music video. As of we're watching right now, it's at 999.
Remember when we were talking about the dating thing that we said maybe the community was okay? I don't think they're okay anymore.
That's fair. I will say this, like, whatever you have to say about the visuals, it's clear Zach and I really enjoyed it, and it's clear that Kristen and Justin very much did not. There are two types of people in this world, and the explanations here either made you say, that sounds amazing, and you paused the podcast already to listen to it, or you said, oh dear God, why, and you absolutely did not. But even if you don't think that this particular song is good or that the video is good, that electric guitar solo, like, there's talent. Like, these guys actually understand music and know how to build a song. They just used that talent for the most absurd thing that I could possibly think of.
Yep.
And whether that's good or not is up to you, I think, at the end of the day.
I think it's a good reminder that with great power comes great responsibility.
Oh, I think they used this power very responsibly.
They used it exactly the way we wanted the power to be used, Zach.
Oh yeah, this is, I'm starting to wonder, but with my opinions, thinking about some opinions I've had on songs in these podcasts, I'm wondering if now I've lost all credibility.
See, lost implies that you had some at the start of the podcast.
That's true. Well, I mean, I was the one person who was defending cat and dog.
You were.
When that first happened. But I got people to come to my side.
You did. I lost that battle. Originally, it looked like I had it. And then I made the mistake of going into the English lyrics. And it somehow turned against me. It is still to this day the most baffling thing that has ever happened on this show. And I will never understand how I lost that war.
And then last month, I said that I almost reached the cat dog point with the Eyes One song. And then I sang the praises of Zimzalabim, so I think at this point any credibility I may have had with certain people is gone.
So what you're saying is I should be concerned that I'm on your yes. side.
I'm starting
what
to
you're
think
telling
that
me.
Maybe going against the grain. No, we are not wrong.
Are we the baddies?
Oh, I am the villain. I thought we made this very abundantly clear.
It's true. We did make this very clear. Oh my god. Well, I think you've heard enough about this song to know whether this is the kind of thing you will enjoy or whether this is the kind of thing that will require a visit to the iBlink subreddit when you're done. And you can decide which of those things you are and make the call for yourself.
I think I'm going to go read about Taeyeon's dog some more.
Well, hold on. We've got one more song. First of all, say goodbye to Zach, people at home, because this is the last song that he chose he wanted to talk about this week. We appreciate the cameo.
Thank you,
as
kind
always.
Stranger.
Thank you, kind stranger, for being on my side. I needed this. It's very important to me.
I'm glad. I didn't realize I'd be coming in as a pinch hitter here, but all
right. Yeah, absolutely right. Now the scary part is now I depend on you in this spot, which is going to be very scary when we have part two coming next week. But we're going to move on. Don't worry, Justin. I got you. We ended with a song I knew you were going to love because I knew that you were going to have to get through shower to get here. So this is, of course, X Phenomenon by Monsta X. Turns out these Monsta X guys are really good. I know,
yeah, really.
This is shocking to absolutely no one by this point, I hope. But damn, Justin, take over. I know you love this song.
Well, with my gigantic knowledge of Monsta X, as much as I like them, I haven't gotten to listen to all of their Japanese albums. But have any of them ever been bad, is what I'm asking. Because, my God, is this song a banger? It's so good. I find it hard to point out a single thing that I like about it. Think back to what I said about NCT's song, the NCT song, Boom. But, on a whole nother level. Where it had my attention immediately. And this has been, compared to Boom, this song I've been spamming on my playlist even more. Yeah, I don't know how much more I can say about it other than it's just an absolute banger.
It goes hard, and I think that that's something when we talk about boy groups that most of us on this podcast are always going to get behind. Kristen, are you in on this song? How do you feel about it?
Oh God, I'm so in on this song. It's giving me odd early 2000s throwback vibe from especially the first 30 seconds of it or so. But Monsta X keeps giving and sustaining, and I think Monsta X are the boy group that is making me like boy groups. They're consistently bringing it. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I'm in. I am. I love this song. You know, it's funny. I think this is another one of those songs that's three songs in one song. And I kind of love it for that. You know, it's the same. Girls Generation had a couple of those as well. And I find it fascinating. And this is a song in which I feel like the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And the parts are good. That's the thing that I love about it. The breakdown in the chorus is incredible. I love the powerful bass through that, and I love how kind of staccato and punctuated the whole thing is. And then it gets to the more fast-paced, but still very clearly going hard and embracing the rap. And then we get this nice little bridge between those two things in which we get the softer voices and the singing and really highlighting some of the strong vocals of this group. There's something in here for every Monsta X fan. And I think it's awesome that they use this Japanese single to be able to experiment with these kinds of things, you know? I feel like more groups, guy groups, girl groups, or otherwise, should do what Monsta X did here. And what I think GFriend does a lot to a certain extent. I want to give them a shout out for this too, is when they do their Japanese singles, they go hard in a different way than they typically do, to the point where it fits in the whole, but it still feels unique compared to what they would be doing if it was just a typical Korean single. So I really enjoyed this a lot. I think it's great. I think that it's a great example of how you can balance these kinds of pieces of a group to highlight everything, even in a short period of time of a single song. I found myself very impressed by this song. I will say, haven't listened to it as often as I should, and I don't know why. I can't say that there's a reason for it, other than that, you know, compared to a song like Room Shaker, it's not as kind of easy listening, approachable. You can't really put this on in the background and just kind of, like, it is such a hype song. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't, like, listen to it and then sit down at a computer for 3 hours as I continue to do work. Feels a little weird, but I maybe that's just because there's another song that we'll get to in part two that was also very hard and had a really strong bass that absolutely took my heart away. But I do want to give you, Justin, is there anything else you want to add before we wrap up this episode?
Stan Monsta X.
Stan Monsta X. Kristen?
Mm-hmm. Stan Monsta X.
There we go. That's, and I guarantee you, wherever Shay may be, he's telling you right now to stan Monsta X. So that's the message of this podcast, and that's where we're going to wrap up part one here of our July breakdown. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you did, be sure to do all those like, comment, subscribe things that are always very helpful. Really do help get some more eyes on the show. Share it with your friends. If you enjoy this and you know people who you think would enjoy this, help us help them enjoy this by letting them know that this podcast is out there. We love doing it. We really do appreciate you guys holding on during the hiatus as real life dealt us a very less than fun hand. But we're back now and we're glad to be here and we can't wait to show you all of the wonderful content that we have going our way. Thank you so much to Zach for his lovely cameo, for producing and editing the show as always. Even if you're not, whatever we can get from Zach is always a pleasure. And I'm glad to have someone have had my back with shower here. Justin, where can the nice people at home find you?
Good question. I'm working on it.
Okay. Well, they'll find him eventually, unless you happen to run into him in the Netherlands, I suppose. Thanks again for being up so late to record this.
That would be impressive.
Yeah, that would be impressive since this is an audio medium and they have no idea what you look like. Kristen, exactly. Where would the nice people at home find you?
They can find me on Twitter and Instagram at kpignolo, and how that is spelled will be in the show notes.
That's great. You can find me at Chase Wassenaar, also in the show notes. You can also, if you enjoy listening to me rant about things but would like to hear it be rants about esports or prop culture things, you should go to at the GGW pod. It's the Geeks and Gaming Worldwide podcast. Have a lot of fun with Pyrotechnics and Mad Magical talking about all of the esports shenanigans and everything else there. That's our sister pod, and we appreciate them giving us a shout out. We got to give the shout out back in return. So thank you guys so much for listening. And until next week, goodbye, Internet.
Goodbye.
Good night.
Night.
What was I going to say? Chase, this is something that'll annoy you, I'm sure.
Oh, great. Yeah.
I can't wait.
Well, I think both of these will annoy you, even though they're opposite things.
Please.
One is, I am kind of coming around on Uh-Oh by Gerbil.
Thank you.
Gerbil, girls, children. I refuse to call them by their actual name.
It'll.
Yeah.
And I'm coming around on that song a bit more. But also, I don't regret cutting it from the last one, though I know you hate me for it.
I would be upset if I was Chase if you turned around on it and started liking it now and didn't.
Hold on. I will never be upset for people bringing Uh-Oh more into their lives. If you want to repent for your sins and get Uh-Oh to be a bigger part of your playlist, that is perfectly fine. No. And I'm not going to give you a hard time for it at all.
It is
the objectively correct thing to do.
The other one is from last month, the other song you were mad at me for cutting out. Mm-hmm. I finally found a Chungha song I don't like. Like, period.
What?
It's...
What, Snapping?
Snapping. Yeah. He did not like Snapping.
I'm angry. Hold on.
I've listened to it more, and I'm just like, okay. I don't like this song at all. I'm just like, it's like a 2.5. Two and a half, I would give it. I'm like, wow, I found a Chungha song I don't like. So I stand by that one completely.
Yeah,
I mean, you can be wrong, I guess.
Yeah, you are entitled to your incorrect opinion.
So in case I haven't pissed off everyone yet, here we go.